Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home, until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning, you are going to hear a message on a simple but yet sophisticated principle found in the Word of God. My sermon is entitled Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity. Unity means one or singular, whereas plurality means many or more than one. The Trinity of God is one of many perfect examples of this principle throughout the Scriptures. There are three distinctly different persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet we believe in one God, three in one. This is an enigma or mystery of the divine being of God found in the Holy Scriptures. By understanding and embracing this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity, it significantly broadens our horizon in the interpretation of the Word of God. My message this morning could also be subtitled The Twofoldness of Divine Truth. The simplicity with yet the complexity of the Word of God only strengthens our resolve that the Holy Bible is divinely inspired or spoken. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the Apostle Peter, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One perfect example of the twofoldness of divine truth is found in the formation of the woman from the rib of Adam, and then God rejoins them together to become one flesh in holy matrimony. And then, through procreation, they have offspring that are a DNA replica of mom and dad. Yet they have their own individual identity, unique from their mother and father. This again is one of many examples that helps us broaden our understanding and interpretation of the Word of God. Many prophecies in Scriptures have a twofoldness, both a near prophecy and a far prophecy, Or, for example, one prophecy in Scripture will picture both advents of the Lord, His first coming and His second coming. God embeds His principles in the physical world, or sometimes I like to describe it as God stamps His divine truth into His physical creation. In Genesis 1:1, God says, "In the beginning," meaning God created time and He stamped His signature of the Trinity into it with the past, present, and future division of time. Well, the same can be said of the twofoldness of divine truth. Every atom of the physical world is either paired with another atom of the same element, or it is found in a chemical bond with a different atom to form a compound. No atom appears in nature singularly. Let me give you one other example. The New Testament speaks of gifts and prizes or rewards. The importance of rightly dividing the word of truth is rightly dividing passages that speak to gifts such as our eternal salvation versus passages that speak to the call of believers to strive to attain the prize, which is ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in His millennial kingdom here on this earth. That is why we say on the Crown of Life Baptist Church website and on this radio program, God is calling sinners to the cross and God is calling believers to the crown. We have to rightly divide what passages are speaking to what proposition. Enjoy the almost unlimited parallels found in the Word of God pertaining to this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to re-review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the subscribe button. Happy Easter. Have a wonderful day today with your family and friends. Remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Unity in plurality, plurality in unity, part 3.
We can either be ashamed when we see the Lord, or we can not be ashamed. We observe in the gospel, according to John, that a second birth, not just a natural birth, is required for eternal completion of man. In the Old Testament, God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, unlike that of the animal kingdom. The second birth in the New Testament is equivalent to the breath of life in the Old. To become a living soul, which mankind lost when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. That's why it demands a second birth. The Bible says, Jesus said, and this was early in his ministry, he told Nicodemus, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unity in plurality, plurality in unity. You need a second birth. Every one of us in this room, you got to be born again. When I was not saved, I mocked people who were said they were born again. I didn't know what that meant. I just thought they were religious fanatic. But I'm proud to say now that I'm born again. And I'm not embarrassed to say it even if I'm mocked. But I have a second birth. I got saved. I embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is fundamental. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. This principle of unity in plurality and plurality in unity is repeatedly evident in the natural world. Examine, for example, the compound of table salt, sodium chloride. Okay, now we looked at the Trinity and how God stamped the Trinity in creation. Now we're going to see how God has stamped this plurality and unity in creation. Sodium. Can you take sodium by itself? It's a metal. It would burn. You put sodium metal on your saliva and you will burn. You will die. Your insides would burn up. Chlorine. Just drink chlorine. Just get your bleach. Pour that down your throat. What will happen? You would burn up your insides and be dead. Two deadly chemicals come together and they produce salt, which every one of our bodies need. Isn't that amazing? Sodium chloride. Take two deadly poisonous elements. They combine to become one of the most important elements for our body. Air. 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen. Can you live in this room in 100% nitrogen? You would be asphyxiated. You would die. Can you live in this room with 100% oxygen? No. No. What happens when you increase the oxygen level in this room? Everything, the ignition temperature of everything in this room changes. So as you increase the oxygen, the ignition temperature drops, and at the slightest spark, everything in this room would ignite. Not that it would explode like gasoline. It's not like a volatile gas like gasoline, but everything that would burn, because you're adding an abundant amount of fuel to the flame and feeding it with pure oxygen, and things would burn that much quicker. Everything in this room, the carpet, those chairs, your clothing, have been gone through the name of the organization, where they determine the ignition temperature of the thing you're wearing. Determine that it's not volatile, try to keep it safe, especially chairs. When businesses bring chairs and bring carpet, but that all changes when you introduce more oxygen into the room. And those numbers all of a sudden are not valid any longer. So, and what does N2 mean and O2 mean? There's not a single atom in the world that can exist by itself. Every atom has to be paired. It has to be paired. If it's going to stand alone in nature like nitrogen, the nitrogen is always a molecule. So that's talking about two atoms of nitrogen and two atoms of oxygen. Those two elements, all elements, in all the periodic table, either if they're combined with another element or if they stand alone, they have to be, they're paired. They never, never appear as a single atom. Water, hydrogen, that's a gas. Oxygen is a gas. They come together and they form water, something your body needs. Hydrogen and oxygen come together and they form water. And one's a liquid and the other two are gases. Again, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. Light, the light in this room, the light outside. And let me tell you, scientists have not answered if everything that we know about light is a theory, and that theory is constantly changing. And Einstein's theory of relativity has been basically booted out the door, because all the new sciences today have disproved a lot of Einstein's theory. But light travels like an electromagnetic wave, means it can go through space without a medium. Your voice, you cannot talk in space in a vacuum because you need a medium. You need air or some kind of medium to speak, and so the sound travels from your voice to somebody else's ear. But light is not so. but it also acts as a particle wave. A particle wave. What does that mean, a particle wave? Those photocells that you have and we see all over the city, our city is getting covered with photocells, with these solar panels all over the city, collecting solar light and creating electricity. There's a photon that comes from the light that hits that plate, electrical plate in the those solar panels, and that's what creates that's what creates electricity, a photon. Though you can't see it, it has no weight, but yet they consider it a particle. So light has two, operates in two different capacities, an electromagnetic wave and a particle wave. So God has stamped this into creation. Roman numeral 3, or at page 3 in your notes there, this principle, unity and plurality in unity, is found within the church construct and parallels holy matrimony. We learn in the scriptures that the principle of this unity and plurality in unity, is both ascribed in the home as well as in the church. Jesus Christ reiterates a well-understood scriptural principle here in Mark chapter 10. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they which are no more twain but one flesh, that therefore God, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This principle in God's eyes, he brings. And what's interesting, in creation, did God create the woman separate from the man? No. He took a rib out of the man, created the woman, and then when they come back together in marriage, and they become one again in God's eyes. Two uniquely different people become one in God's eyes. That's an amazing principle, that he is sort of like putting Eve back into Adam's rib. And this principle is so in every relationship. They become one in God's eyes. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's not my rules. That's not my principle. That's God's principle. Every marriage, that's what they read, that law right there in Mark. They become one flesh in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, the church. This is the third bullet point found underneath Roman numeral 3. The body is dead without the head. As Christ is the glorified incarnate Son of God, the church is also an organic entity, an organism, not an artificial entity. Can you live without your head? Huh? Sometimes you wake up and your mom and dad used to say, "Did you leave your head back in the bedroom, or did, you know, put your head on?" Mom says that, huh? I see her shaking her head back there. Where's your head? You've heard that expression. Aren't you thinking? But no. Once that guillotine comes down and cuts your head off, you're dead. It's over. So you need, it's vital for every one of us to have our head on our shoulders. Well, the church, in God's eyes, is an organic entity. It's not inorganic. That Christ is the head, and we are the body. And we need to make sure we keep Christ the head and nobody else. What's unique about this church? We didn't grovel and beg from the state to become incorporated. Because what does that do? It puts a new head on the church, and it's no longer an organic entity. It becomes an artificial entity. It becomes an artificial entity. It becomes inorganic. And Christ is the head, and the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't share his glory with anybody else. It's man's error to incorporate the church and make it an incorporated entity. And every corporation out there, every business, this hotel included, is an artificial entity. You are an organic entity. You are a living, breathing body. This building and this business is not a living, breathing entity. It can be killed or ended. It doesn't have really killed. You can be killed if your head's chopped off. But this can be dissolved. This entity can be dissolved by dissolving the corporation. And it's an artificial entity. And what has happened in our country is artificial entities have gotten more control of the government than you and I have. We vote in politicians, but who do they kowtow to? The artificial entity instead of you. That was the big difference with President Trump. He didn't have to kowtow to the big corporations, because he already had his wealth. He earned his wealth. He wanted to make you and I have some wealth, because he knew what was going on with these politicians and these artificial entities. That's a big thing in the body of Christ. Don't put a new head on the church. The fourth bullet point. Note the significant comparison between the marriage bed and the church. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. This is fundamental in understanding the church. It says here, and we'll start with verse 21, chapter 5, Ephesians. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Okay, now, as my wife would say, that doesn't mean she's a doormat, okay? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body, okay? The Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior of the body. The husband is the Savior of the wife. He's a protector. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay? The church is subject to Christ. And then the Lord draws this analogy, wives be subject to your own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. That's a loving, sacrificial giving to your wives. It is charity. It's a love. It's a dying love. You're there, men, to protect your wives and your children and your family from wickedness. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We're to lay down our lives for our family, men, that he might sanctify it. There's that word, sanctify it, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. How do we keep this church pure? By the word of God. By instilling the word of God in you. As God gives me what to preach each week, I deliver that to you. so that we would be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Okay, he wants us to clean house, keep it swept, not the building, not the carpet, us, you and I. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. Okay? No man ever yet hateth his own flesh. But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's organic. Okay? Inorganic doesn't have bones. It doesn't have flesh. It doesn't have a living, breathing skin and body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the marriage between a man and a woman is a picture of the marriage between you and Christ, between us and Christ. It's that organic relationship. We are an organism. The church is an organism. And you individually are an organism. So we can pick up and move to another location and the church is not dead. Because the church is not this building. And it's not those big cathedrals all throughout the world. That's not the church. The church is you and I. And it says lastly, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Because isn't Jesus Christ another name for the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't he the bridegroom? The church is the bride. The church is the bride. And it's important. Important. The whole principle of marriage here is seen with the church. Again, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. With heads bowed, eyes closed, If the Lord is speaking to your heart, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to have that be known to be and can say with boldness and courage that I'm born again and I believe Jesus Christ. I just want to call on you to do that this hour. Do that today before it's eternally too late. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And ask him to come into your life and be a part of your life. Because everything in God's eyes revolves around his children. Those who trust in him, those who believe in him, and the word of God is to be our sole authority for faith and practice. It's the Bible. It's nothing else but the Bible.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.